Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
The Srimad Bhagavatam is unique amongst all the Vedic literature. Because everything in it is connected to the Supreme Lord. And this is directly connected. All the other Vedic literatures are also connected to the Lord. But this connection many times is indirect. So much of what's there is the directions of the Lord. But the Lord is not obvious in the verses.
Mm-hmm.
So this then was a problem for Srila Vyasadeva. Because then he was not satisfied, because even though he had described so many nice activities, they were not directly giving the idea of surrender to the Lord. So even though he was giving the directions how Krishna wants the living entity to live in this universe, that but the living entity might not see the Lord in the activity. Like when someone is newly doing any activity, they have a tendency to get caught up in all the details of the activity and not actually understand the purpose of the activity. And then they get a habit of this, and then they don't know what it's actually for. So they perform the activity very nicely with practice. But the connection with the Lord and seeing the Lord through this activity, that is lost. So occasionally in the scripture, Srila Vyasadeva would give points where you could understand its connection with the Lord. But unfortunately, most people would not notice that because it doesn't look like the essential part. Just like, let's say we take a book, right? And let's say like a cookbook. And in this cookbook we describe, you know, all the proper activities of cooking for the Lord, the attitudes of cooking for the Lord, the standards. How to do, you know, what is the actual understanding of the living entity's connection with the Lord and proper cooking, proper attitudes. Right? Then after all this, big introduction, then you have, you know, the recipes. Which part of the book will the cooks look at? They'll read the front part of the book? No, their interest is simply how to cook the recipe. So therefore, the front part of the book they won't even look at. And then, besides that, then they're always thinking, why print all this? It's such a big, bad book. I only want this much of it. Right? And so then, therefore, then you see cookbooks only give recipes. In the same way as all the other Vedic arts and sciences, then the people are the same. Right? So many people are interested in astrology. And the bulk part of astrology is the philosophy behind it. But who reads it? Because in the mind of the materialist, then it's, what do you need that for to do astrology? That's some esoteric thing. The real thing is this planet here, that planet there. That's the substance. And the other is not so important. So this is the unfortunate situation of the conditioned living entity. The activities that keep us in the material world are considered as important and substance. And the parts that get us out of this material world are considered extraneous or not so important. So therefore then, Srila Vyasadeva had to very cleverly work a few verses in to explain actually the purpose of the Vedic literature. Because if he explains it all nicely, then people will skip that section and just get down to the actual working part. So he has to cleverly work it in. Right? At some place where you won't notice. Right? 100,000 verses of pure politics and social interaction and intrigue and violence. And then, right in the middle of a very climactic situation, when Arjuna is there on the battlefield just ready for war, then Vyasadeva works in some philosophy. Seven 700 verses. Right? And then it disappears again into war and politics and other things. Right? And when people say, oh, let us discuss Mahabharata, what do they discuss? Bhagavad Gita? No. War, politics, this, that. Right? Gita is, that's another thing. Then there is, you know, the Mahabharata. Right? Or if you see like the Ramayana. Right? There may be 15 pages describing what Lord Ramachandra looked like. How he was sitting, looking, how he was ornamented. Right? Who wants to hear? No, we want the action. Right? Okay, you say he was sitting there and he looked nice.
Right?
But then let's get down to the action. Right? Killing this one, shooting that one, doing this, that. So with this kind of audience, it makes it very difficult for Vyasadeva to actually save the living entity from the material world. So with this kind of audience, then he does his best. But unfortunately, he is not satisfied. Because he's not actually been able to directly give the Supreme Lord. So then, Narad Muni then tells him, that's because you need to give that direct. You're not satisfied because you've written the Lord into these scriptures, but no one understands that. So then he wrote the Srimad
Bhagavata,
which gives the conclusions of all the literatures. If one is following any branch of Vedic knowledge, but it's not in line with the conclusions of Bhagavata, then one has missed the whole point of the Vedic literature. And one can understand it's not actually pleasing to the Supreme Lord. And actually, it's not even really Vedic. Right? Vedic is for the purpose of elevating the living entity to go back to God. But for the gross materialists who are not interested to go back to God. These truths are hidden behind a particular type of language. The idea being, better they follow the Lord's instructions indirectly than not follow them at all. So as devotees, we have to be very careful about dealing with all these branches of knowledge. That we don't get involved in these things and think, yes, now I am Vedic and now this is Pakka devotee. Otherwise, we may miss the point. Right? Prabhupada gives the example. The man is drowning, and then you jump in and save his shirt. So the Vedic culture means becoming God conscious. Right? Then the more detail you add, nice. When you remove all the external details, then you have the Paramahamsa. Right? And the Paramahamsa is always absorbed in remembering the Lord. So that is the essence of the whole Vedic system. Then according to need, then we add in sadhana, we add in the varnashram and all the other branches. You know, if one is very attached to knowing what's in the future, what's in the past, what are people like, right? And they have a scientific mind. Then Krishna gives the astrology to engage you in his service. But the astrology is not what's important. What's important is the connection between us and the Lord. And that becomes a medium to use. So just because one has become expert in this field does not qualify one in devotional service. Or someone knows all the nice rituals of deity worship. But it doesn't qualify you as a devotee. Right? Devotee is something else. The devotee is that affection for the Lord and doing things for the Lord. That affection is what attracts the Lord. But you must show that affection through something. And how is that seen? Is if you're actually doing that activity for Krishna's satisfaction. Otherwise, we're just dealing very expertly with the material energy. It's not gross material energy, it's more subtle. It's not ignorance, it may be goodness. But still, one stays in the material world. So coming to the transcendental platform, that's actually what is important. So we must remember the Lord when we're performing any of our activities, whatever it is. And do them to please the Lord. Someone may say, well, this is very difficult, or very high standard. But that's working on the principle that the lower standard is a standard. Right? Because if this is a standard, that's a higher standard. Well, if we get there, nice, but if not, we have a nice situation. Reality is that is the standard, and other things are below the standard. Right? Like you need to establish some relationship with somebody. Or let's say two people have an argument. Third person comes along and says, this is not good, you're a devotee, is why you're fighting. Sure. Mm-hmm. And this one says, no, this one's wrong this way. And this one says, no, that one's wrong that way. This is a matter of justice and logic and what's right. So then the person says, no, no, it's the devotees. We shouldn't get so involved. So they say, no, but this is an important standard. Right? So therefore we're fighting over this. Right? But what is that standard for? What is justice and all these things for? It's simply so people will relate with each other, right? It's not meant to be taken separately as a means to fight it. It's simply meant that people should live together nicely, because that's the important part. But many will take this as a means to fight with everyone. So that's not the purpose. All these things are there to keep us from being selfish, to try to elevate us. But it's taken as a standard. The real standard is the relationship. The real standard is the relationship. Yeah, it means the lower activity of fighting over some mundane thing, that is seen, this is standard. But actually that's not standard. That's just a tool. That's just a tool for the actual standard. So it means the point was missed. Understanding of real human relationships has been missed. Some rules have been taken as the standard, and the actual people and their relationships have been lost. In the same situation, then we can take another example. So then the third person then says, listen, we're devotees, don't fight like this. You should offer your obeisances. Right? So then, and you know, say that you're sorry. Right? So they offer obeisances. Bow down really quick, put their head down, stand up. Say you're sorry. I'm sorry. No, you're supposed to do a nice thing. I did it. What do you want? I offer my obeisances. I said I was sorry. I did everything. It's paka. It's perfect. What do you want from me? You know? Leave me alone. Give me a break. Get out of my face. You know? You have to respect my individuality. So, they did do it nice. They offered the obeisances. They said they were sorry. But was the actual purpose of that obtained? No. Because the purpose is to establish a relationship. So in the same way, we see that people think because they are doing the externals, it's perfect. managed it. What do you want? I cooked it. What do you want? Right? We got it in the bus. What do you want? Okay, it's upside down. It broke everything. Well, you said just put it in the bus. Right? So we see there's a problem. We become expert at Grihastha life. Right? We make our money. We have our house. Materially, we did everything. But the man drowned. Right? We have the shirt. But the person's dead. We're supposed to do this to please Krishna. Right? We did our service, but we didn't do it to please Krishna. So now can we say that's a high standard or that's the only standard? And the other isn't a standard at all. It's not even below the standard. It's not even a standard. It's only the medium for what you're doing. That's all. You can see in anything you do, if people do the activity nicely, but the mood is not right, no one is satisfied. But if the mood is right, even if the activity is not perfect, everybody accepts. So that is what Srila Vyasadeva is trying to point out. It's the activity done to please the Lord that is pleasing. And the most important is that desire to please the Lord, not the activity. We have to do something. So Vyasadeva gives activities that Krishna likes. But more important is that it's done to please Krishna. So then Srimad Bhagavatam then describes so many devotees, how they are doing everything. Just leaving off all the externals. You see, activity is done, but it's always done to please the Lord. Generally we see is the satisfaction of the devotees. So the question is what is the criteria that we know you please? So generally we can see that through the devotees. Because the devotees are who brings us to Krishna. The devotees cultivate that Krishna consciousness. And in the perfectional stage, we'll be performing devotional activities with the eternal liberated soul. So the association of devotees is the most important aspect. So that means we have to take association with devotees as important. So if we value that, then we will be able to act. So that requires humility and tolerance. And the need to respect others. And the one should avoid looking for that respect for oneself. If those four attitudes are there, one can get along with anyone. And any situation. So one may think, well, why? What's so important about that? So this is important because the devotees are important to the Lord. The most important thing for the Lord is that relationship. And so, therefore, all the pastimes, the whole cosmic manifestation is there just for this interaction with the devotee. Otherwise, then, there's no need of manifesting this world. It's manifest just so that the Lord and the devotees can enter. So being able to work with devotees and please devotees is actually the most important. Therefore we discuss with the devotees and we inquire from devotees. Then everything works. And that association then should be based on what one has heard from Guru Sadhu. Because those activities actually are pleasing. Other activities may please the mind at the moment. But afterwards, and the mind is not satisfied, and then it has to look for something new. If we follow according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then we're actually set. Because then we're working on the eternal standard. So one can always be set. Of course, one may say, well, I did all that and I'm not satisfied. But if you observe, the person who says that is not doing it anymore. So naturally, they can't appreciate the benefit. is very important. Because the Lord is not satisfied with relationships with God. He's Admirama, so it's satisfying. But God's relationship with God is not the most satisfying. God's relationship with God. No, with God. Means God's relationship with himself, he's known as Atmaram. Right? But he's not as satisfied as when he expands and has relationships with the devotees. So the best way we can satisfy the Lord is through relationships with his devotees. In connection with him. Because the devotee is thinking of the Lord, and we are also then related with the devotees, then that actually satisfies. The Lord focuses on the devotees, we also focus. But through that focus, we see the Lord. So that's the whole thing, is that our relationship with the Lord, it goes through devotees, and the Lord's relationship with us is coming through devotees. So that's the most pleasing to the Lord. That makes sense. Then relationships is that all these different things means these different varieties of rasa then increase the Lord's happiness. Because and you want to perform an activity, then a situation goes along with it very nicely. Like you want to have a nice very formal dinner. Right? You won't have it out on the street or in the bathroom. Okay? We could put all the nice tables and chandeliers and everything in the bathroom. Wouldn't be quite the right move. So, the atmosphere in which the activity is done should match. Right? So, if Krishna is just in a cloud with Srimati Radharani, it's not overly pleasing. Cloud in the sky, they float around. Not so appealing. But now if we have, you know, some place, and that place is very nice, some trees, or some river, or some mountains. Right, some nice pond or lake. And then it's nice. But then also, then if it's just the two of them, then not so much happening.
Если их лишь двое, то
Therefore, then you have many people there. And okay, and if they are all connected, they're all, you know, married, there's no other relationships, you get, you know, a little boring after a while. Marriage gets boring. Right? Some illicit connection is more exciting. So, in the material world, marriage is supposed to get boring because you're supposed to take vanaprast and go back to Godhead. Right? So, in the spiritual world, they're there eternally. So they don't want to get bored. Right? So therefore the gopis have their husbands. Right? So they can be bored with that, but not with going off with Krishna. Right? So there it's in connection with Krishna, so it's nice. But here it's not. So then they have to live somewhere. So they have houses and all these things. You have to take care of the house. You need things for the houses, therefore somebody sells this, somebody sells that. So in this, and then someone has to manage it, so you must have a team. King must have a place to live. So in this way then you get the whole of Vrindavan then. And then everybody has different duties. If everybody had the same duty, it would be very difficult. So there's unlimited devotees and unlimited duties. So then there's unlimited relationships with the Lord. And then, since all these things have to go on, then the devotees have to cooperate and live with each other. And since that interaction between the devotees, as the Lord is the center, it's very pleasing to the Lord. So that's the importance of relationships. Why are we limited to the five rasas? If we notice, nobody is bored with these things. If we look carefully, no one is bored with these five drops. All the young boys and girls are not thinking, it's so much, our parents and grandparents, everyone's into this conjugal rasa. Where's something new, something fresh? So boring, I have to go out with other people and be with other people. It's much, much more nice to just sit at home and alone and do absolutely nothing with nobody. So old hat, people, you know, serving other people and that, you know, something different, you know. Why anybody should serve me? Right? It's so boring, you know, I put on this nice cloth and I dress nicely and everybody appreciates, you know, why can't they have a different mood? Why don't they throw tomatoes at me, or why don't they, you know, growl at me, or... Why do they always say, oh, they dress so nicely, or looking very nice today? Why everybody's appreciating me? I would rather they don't appreciate. I would some new thing, something different. Don't they have any imagination like Picasso or something? Something different. No imagination. Same old five rasas. Right? So we see no one's bored of the five rasas. They're so perfect that they perfectly means we have a nature, and that nature is manifest through those five rasas. And then why group together means why there's groups. Right? Ever try to carry on a deep relationship or a conversation with an amoeba? A blade of grass. Maybe a cow. Okay, people like their dog, but how long do they like their dog? They go out for a walk with their dog, but they go out to dinner with a human. Right? Okay? Kids sleep in bed with dogs. Adults like to sleep in bed with something a little more comfortable. Don't worry. The human. So we can understand that it's a perfect system that's been perfectly made by God. So you like being with people that have a similar mentality. A manager likes to be with other managers or people who like to be managed. A manager doesn't like to be with undisciplined anarchists. So you see, everyone groups together because there's something common. The first thing when you see an object or a person is you check and see if there's anything common. And depending upon what's common, then you think of a relationship. So commonness is actually what establishes relationships. Yeah. So it's natural then the devotees will group together in these rasas. Is it on the same point or is it different? So individuality within anything, there's always individual. Like here, everybody, you know, the men are all wearing dhotis, women are wearing saris, but you see that there's a difference. It's individual. No one's wearing exactly the same color. You take 10 cooks, give them exactly the same ingredients to cook the same preparation and all the people. So therefore, all these different services that are done for Krishna are all very pleasing. But within those, everybody does it differently. So, and even within that, they are able to do it differently. Radharani cooks, but every time she cooks, it's different. So therefore, there's unlimited variety. That's the expertise, because there must be, yeah, that's the expertise. Because there must be something that you can relate to. like you're playing some music. You're usually playing the same instrument, same style of music, but within that you make variety. Right. If today we play the instruments nicely and tomorrow we just bang them around on the stage, it doesn't make any for satisfaction. Because if you bang the instruments, it doesn't create a pleasing sound. So, therefore, it has to be within what is pleasing. But within that, you use your intelligence and make variety. So that endeavor to create variety is pleasing to the Lord. So you see, like nobody has any problem with, you know, talking or listening. But there should be variety. You don't say the same things every time. You don't just talk always the same. Right? The voice changes. So that creates the change. So individuality is therefore in line with the Lord. God has quality. We've expanded from God, so we have similar thoughts. Therefore, the activities in that God has established, they please Him, and they are naturally the best for expressing our individuality. So we always have to see this idea of individuality is a very, how do you say, we see it's not actually there. Right? All the parents, they all dress in one way. All the teenagers feel we're individuals, we dress differently. But if you look at it very objectively, you see all the teenagers are dressed exactly the same. They all wear pants and t-shirts. Okay. What's the difference? No, but they'll say, no, the difference is the color of the cloth is different or the kind of cloth is different. Their pants have a zipper here, my zipper's over here. They unzipped it halfway, I only unzipped it a quarter of the way. My unzipping of the zip is more refined. So it's the same medium. It's just how it's used. Right? But it still has to be used within certain limits. Right? You know, if you put the pants on your head and wore the t-shirt as pants, then people would think you're crazy. You could say, I'm wearing exactly the same pants and t-shirt as you. But people will say, it's not rocker box. It's not rocker. Okay. to understand any scripture, anything, you have to understand the basic principle. That you must understand what are the elements involved and what are the relationships of the elements. Then you must understand what is the natural connection between those elements and the goal of that connection. And then how they interact with each other. Right? So the Bhagavatam is giving the example of all that. But technically how that works, one needs to know to appreciate Bhagavatam. So that is Bhagavad Gita. See, ABCs are fundamental. See, in the spiritual platform, we're not dealing with false ego. So the fundamentals are always Pama. Just like you have somebody who's, you know, doing, let's say, a PhD in literature. And but then you want to talk with them something about ABCs. They'll say, we're talking literature. There is not one writer or PhD or any literary person that can do any literature without A, B, and C. Not one. But to make themselves feel important, they say, oh yes, ABCs, you know, we're on a higher level. But the Vedic version is, the ABC is so important, it's so fundamental, therefore it must always be understood and respected. So even though they talk something higher, so much of your grade comes on something lower. Nice content. Right? But, you know, your handwriting's terrible, the spelling is bad, the spacing between letters is not right, you know, you didn't lay out the page properly. All just ABCs. So out of false ego, they emphasize the one, but actually it's all based on the other. So the ABCs that are given in Gita then are illustrated in Bhagavad. And those fundamentals are always referred to by the acharyas in describing the past. So they're always establishing the relationships and the proper affection for the Lord, how to properly perform the activity. So that is the thing, is ABCs doesn't mean that it's, oh, I already read that. In the modern, you learn it, you move on. In the Vedic, you learn it and then live it.
It's not
then in living it, then you can add into it more and more, you know, and expand on that. But you're expanding on what's already there. So that means then the ABCs become even more and more appreciated. Many times you see the acharyas explain, you know, a topic, just taking a word or even a syllable out of a word and expanding the whole meaning of the verse. So the Vedic concept is you go deep. The modern is you stay shallow and do many things. Shallow and do many, many things. It is the same scripture. It's just the Gita is the introduction to that scripture. It means like you have a book. Every book has its introduction. Right? And then if it's a very important book, it also has like a study on it so that you can appreciate it more. So do you count them as three books or as one book? Do you count them as three books or as one? Right? So the Gita is the introduction, so you actually understand Bhagavatam. Right, the Chaitanya Charitamrita then is that in-depth study of the Bhagavatam. How to live the Bhagavatam. Right? And nectar devotion is teaching us what is the processes of devotion used in the Bhagavatam. So those four books are actually the same book, just different angles to understand. That you have to ask. Some sense to this. Oh, Bhagavatam. Let you know Bhagavatam. So, see, Bhagavat means the Lord. You have Bhagavan, and then to the grammar you get Bhagavat, and Bhagavatam means about. It's a grammatical. It just means that it's discussion about God. Therefore you get the book is known as Bhagavatam. That is discussing about the Lord. And then the devotees are also known as Bhagavatam. Because they're always describing it. So you get the book Bhagavat and the devotee attitude towards while doing service. Those devotees are there.